Good morning, ECAC hockey fans. Welcome to another edition of Coffee with a Coach. Nick Cervinski joined by St. Lawrence men's hockey head coach Brent Brecky. Coach, thanks for joining us this morning.
You bet. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How about you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good.
So thanks for jumping on. I know we had a couple times we tried to get you on after a couple big wins and just never stopped the grind on the road recruiting. So we're happy to get you on our schedule.
No, it's great to be on and great to join you.
So your team has put together a little bit of a good run here. Four wins between, you know, in the month of December, only one loss in that whole month of December until the last day with a split of Nebraska-Omaha on the road. And then two wins in your last four coming out of that break. So really starting to put together some good hockey, get those results, and including three overtime wins in that stretch. So finding ways to win, you know, late in tight games. What have you liked about your team down this last stretch?
Well, finding ways to win, like you mentioned, is probably the biggest thing. You know, we look back at last year, I think we led the country in ties, and, you know, finding ways to win in hockey games is such a huge piece of that. I think when you experience those close games, those are probably some of the things that we learned last year, that, you know, we had a lead and ended up getting a tie, and there's times where we have the tie and we end up getting the loss. You know, I think our guys have learned a lot from those lessons we had last year, which has probably made a difference this year in some of those close games, and especially in the overtimes.
And your last two splits in series were with non-conference opponents, Nebraska, Omaha, and then Niagara in the home and home. And now you've finished the non-conference play and head into the league to end the year. What does a team that's in your position standings-wise have to do to just continue to build and you know, take it a day at a time, practice at a time, to be able to produce those results towards the end?
Well, you have to take advantage of your home ice. I mean, that's a big piece, that you got to win at home. I think every team feels strongly that when they're playing their own building that they're hard to beat, but it can't be just that. I think when you go on the road, you've got to find a way to beat tough opponents in their home buildings. You know, and that's something we talk to our guys a lot, is our identity. We don't care who we play or where we play. We want to be the same team. And that's, you know, on the road, at home, neutral site, doesn't matter what it is, because, you know, if you're having a successful season, you get yourself in the NCAA tournament. That's what it becomes. You've got to find a way to manufacture your identity every time you step on the ice, regardless of the venue and where you're playing at.
You talk about finding your identity, and in my outside opinion, looking at, you know, some of the numbers, you've got over 22 players, I believe, including a goalie that's recorded at least a point this year. What is some of that spread out wealth in the scoring? Is that a good thing for you? Would you rather see four guys at the top, or is that good that you can kind of spread the wealth?
Well, we need more production from our goaltender. He's got to stockpile the assists for us a little bit more. So he's, you know, Zets has been great in net for us. No, I think, you know, when you have depth in your scoring is important. The thing that we felt coming out of last year into this year was we wanted more production on our back end, and that's something we've definitely gotten. Like Luke Salem's had a phenomenal year. He's a kid that has, you know, tremendous offensive instincts. He's got no panic point. And I think that's something, you know, if you look at the numbers, our guys have done a much better job. Not necessarily point-wise, it might be just the actual production. They're getting the opportunities and helping to produce those. So that's been better. But I do like depth scoring. I think if you're relying on one line or two lines, and all of a sudden you find yourself where it's just not clicking for that particular line, or, you know, those couple of goal scorers, you're going to find yourself in trouble. So depth scoring, I think, is real important, especially for our team.
And shifting gears a little bit, talk about your background a little bit more. No stranger to the ECAC, especially, you know, your experience coming before St. Lawrence with 1 year at Clarkson, and then also spending 9 years at Cornell, going to a Frozen Four, winning two ECAC championships. We see that a lot in the ECAC with head coaches that have spent time at other institutions within the league and gotten that experience in what is a unique conference structure. How important was that experience for you to be at Cornell, to be at Clarkson before coming into the job at St. Lawrence, to know kind of where you're headed?
No, I think it's great when you have an opportunity to be in a league and get a chance to understand how the league plays and the style that they play, but also the coaches and how they coach. And a lot of the mentorship that took place in my early part of my career came from this league. And, you know, and some of the guys that have recently retired that have been in this league for a long, long time. Mike Schaefer was the one that kind of brought me under his wing. I played for Schaefer in college. He was the assistant coach when I played at Western Michigan. So I had a relationship prior to that as a player and a coach, having played under him. So he gave me my first opportunity in college hockey at Cornell. I was there for 9 years and learned a lot from him. I mean, he does things the right way. His kids, there's a complete buy-in there. They compete at a high level. You know, they've been the same ever since I was there, you know, even before I was there until now. It's a team that is always going to show up to compete. And I think that's, you know, some of the things that I learned from Schaefer that I've obviously taken along with me, you know, throughout my career. And After that, I was at Miami for 10 years in Miami of Ohio, and had a good fortunate run there as well to be able to play in the national championship game against BU. And we had back-to-back Frozen Four appearances. So those experiences, they're crucial and they're real important. As we talked about the experience a little bit earlier in this talk, those are the things that you take with you, and just the different coaching styles, the things that you like from each coach that you've worked with. But even the guys, like you said, the guys that are in this league, like Joe Marsh, who obviously was at St. Lawrence for a long, long time here, Bobby Gaudet, Timmy Taylor at Yale, Mike Gilligan at Vermont when they're in the league. I mean, there's a long list of phenomenal, phenomenal coaches. And when you're a young assistant, that was one thing I thought was valuable, is try to spend time with those guys, be around them. When we go play on the road at those venues, we'd have a chance to meet up with them the night before when we arrived on campus, or for morning coffee, or down at the coaches convention. And the biggest thing I found was just soak things in, be there and listen and learn from those guys, because they've been around and have a lot of success, and there's a reason they've been successful, and you can learn from them.
Yeah, and for you to be kind of learning, there were some things that you dealt with in your first few years that you probably couldn't learn, right? You start at St. Lawrence, and the high of multi-million dollar renovation, having the arena turned over and everything that came with that obviously helps recruiting, helps the program. And then you go into your first season, and that's followed by COVID, which was just the strangest year that anybody's probably seen in our sport and obviously in our world. But you decide, okay, we'll take this year and we'll go win the ECAC championship at the end. What kind of roller coaster is that, just in your first few years, of all the emotion and the things that you had to deal with, to get to that point of lifting a trophy on Quinnipiac's ice?
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting, because we didn't play in our building until January that first year because of the renovation. So we were down the road at SUNY Canton, and our mentality going into it was, there is no complaint. It is what it is. We've got a brand new gift waiting for us once we have that opportunity to step back into Appleton Arena. So we show up and work every day, and that was the mentality. And then obviously we got to play five games at the end of the year in our rink, and then COVID hit. We played down at Harvard in the playoffs, came back, and they shut down that next week, and it was just crazy. And then the next year was something that nobody ever experienced. And I think when you go through that, the challenges and your approach and your how you think about it and how the team approaches, I think is important. I mean, you can feel sorry for yourself and feel like you're getting cheated on an opportunity or an experience, whether it's as a coaching staff or as a student athlete. And to me, it was the approach and how you wanted to take it on and tackle it every day. And I thought our guys were phenomenal at it. We knew there was no really set date of when we were going to play that COVID year. And so we approached it more of a skill development year to start. And when we start playing games, then we're going to be ready for it. But we wanted our guys individually to really learn and grow and try to reach their individual potential. And, the system stuff, we just said, hey, if we're going to start putting systems in September and October, like, they're going to, without playing games, the guys are going to want to walk out of the rink. So we really kind of changed our mentality of how we approach. And I think we took a lot from that year as well, that individual skill development piece, now that we're back to some normalcy, is that still a focal point for us in our weekly practices. So I think you can get too caught up in the day-to-day grind of, our systems and our structure have to be in place. We need to do this, and we've got to accomplish this before we get into the Friday, Saturday games. And you'll lose sight at times of some of the stuff that may be as important, if not more important. That's that skill development aspect.
And shifting back to the coaching side a little bit for you, I know a lot of people that are watching these every week are always interested in kind of the path that you went through to get to the college ranks. And we talked about Clarkson, Cornell, Miami, but as a player playing at Western Michigan, alternate captain, and leading a team to an NCAA tournament, or helping a team to an NCAA tournament, 24 wins. Talk a little bit about your experience, on the playing side, and kind of what led you from playing to coaching, and how that journey began.
It's interesting. I never planned to coach. That was not something I had as plans growing up. It was, I love the game of hockey, wanted to play. I actually loved football more than hockey when I was younger, and then just had to make the decision which path I wanted to pursue. And then I chose the hockey path. But, when I quit playing college hockey and I wanted to play pro, and I was just pursuing that opportunity, and I had a 2-year contract and wanted to see, what was going to come of that. But I'll never forget, Mike Schaefer said, hey, when your playing days are over, if you have an interest in coaching, I'd love to bring you on board. And I kind of said, yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. But never, I really didn't digest it and take it to heart. I didn't. It was one of those where I was still so focused on playing and hopefully having a good career in pro hockey. that it wasn't even a thought. And sure. So played a couple of years in the minors and enjoyed it, but it was just one of those where, like, you know what, I don't see this in a position myself and getting to the National Hockey League. And so my wife and I were engaged at the time, ended up getting married, and then we transitioned. And so when I quit playing, same thing, I really didn't have an aspiration of coaching. So what happened was, there was a Booster family that we had known extremely well when I was in college. They had a son that was playing Bantam hockey, and they asked if I would come out. I would move back to Kalamazoo area, and they said, hey, do you mind coming out to help coach the Bantam team and you know, whatever works for you, we'd love to have you out there with, you know, time permitting. I said sure. You know, I wanted to be around the game still and just love spending time with the kids and trying to help those kids develop, and did that for about a 2 years, and had an opportunity with a former teammate, Derek Schooley, who's been the head coach at Robert Morris for a long, long time. Derek and I were teammates in college, and he had taken a position with the Chicago Freeze, which is an expansion team in the North American League. And so he was supposed to be the assistant coach with Guy Perron. Well, what happened during that summertime, Frank Ceratori had a position open up at Air Force and contacted Derek, and he had coached Derek in the USHL in junior hockey. And so Derek ended up taking that position in the summer, opened up. He called me and said, hey, do you have an interest in coaching junior hockey? And I said, there's a spot here. And so he just said, hey, if you're interested, I'll pass it along to ownership and we can see if we can get the ball rolling. And that's kind of how it started. And I got my feet right into, got them wet, jumping into the North American League, which was awesome. I mean, it was different at the time. The North American League actually competed against the USHL for the national championship. So different era. In Chicago, we had some tremendous, tremendous players just coming up through different youth organizations. So the recruiting aspect to really find out what recruiting was all about. You're in an unbelievable market for recruitment. And so it was a great experience. And it was funny because when I'd come on board, there was an expansion team that had just moved from Detroit. Well, the rink was being built. So we spent the first half of our season on the road. The rink wasn't even open yet. And so
you've got a knack for finding those new buildings.
Yeah, exactly. So it was interesting because there was a small, like a tennis club right next door across the parking lot. So they retrofitted, they took the tennis courts and basically removed the courts, and they put a flooring in. And so we were practicing over there. They put a rink in there. And that was our makeshift rink for a few months until we got the other rink opened up. And so I was there for a couple of years, and then the opportunity at Cornell opened up and went there. So that was kind of the path, but it was interesting. You know, we talked to our players here, what their aspirations are and what their dreams. And you know, one of our youngsters here, Cam Buell, wants to coach. That's what he wants to get into. And we talked yesterday actually about it and stuff, and just, you know, what are the avenues and how do you open those doors and get into it? He's a kid that wants to play pro hockey, but when that playing career ends and he's hanging up the skates, he wants to jump into coaching. And he has a great mentality. He's got a great mind for the game, and he'll be a tremendous coach. And, you know, hopefully, continues to learn some different things, and hopefully we help him out here, just not from a playing standpoint, but, you know, getting himself ready for coaching as well.
Well, the coaching journey is always one of my favorite questions to ask, because everyone has a different story and it seems like they all take different paths and end up, you know, in similar places to get to our league. I do say we have to update your Wikipedia. It says after a year off from hockey, you signed with Chicago Freeze. So we got to put after a year of Bantam coaching in Kalamazoo, I think, right?
Yeah, something
sounds like a little better.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, Coach, it's been a really good chat with you, and just, you know, looking ahead at your schedule at Union, at RPI this coming weekend, and, you know, not to put the cart before the horse, but one more win gets you your most wins so far in a regular season with St. Lawrence. So it's continuing to build, you know, more wins each season that you've been with the program. So obviously the success is there. And heading into this road weekend, is it still one game at a time for you? Or do you continue to look at, you know, where we're going ahead?
No, that'll never change. It's always going to be the approach of what's right in front of us. You've got to be where your feet are at. And if you look too far ahead, then you're going to make mistakes and miss out in the moment. And I think that's important. And, you know, it's great to see Josh Howge. Howge is a guy I worked with at Clarkson. He's done a phenomenal job there. They're going to show up and they're going to be prepared. They work hard. They've been in every single game this year. So I'm excited to see him again. He and his family will get down there and spend a little bit of time with him as well. But it'll be a good matchup. And obviously over to RPI after that. And, always two tough places to play. You know, when we go down to those buildings, they're prepared and they're ready. So it's going to be an important weekend for us.
Union and RPI on the schedule for St. Lawrence, and then the rivalry weekend with Clarkson, which I know you're looking forward to on the 27th, 28th, but we won't jump ahead. I know that's not your style, so we'll save that for the next time we talk. Coach, once again, thanks for joining us, and fans can watch St. Lawrence Union, St. Lawrence RPI, and any other ECAC matchups on ESPN Plus in the United States and Stretch Internet internationally. Brent, we appreciate your time.
Awesome. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it.
Thank you.